When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Collin II, and with me, as always, via Zoom, is...
Sesame Amit Encarta. And by the way, it's not through Zoom anymore.
I forgot about that. We're on Google Meet, because Zoom decided to limit their time to 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with you, Zoom, if you're listening.
Just bullshit, because how many meetings only go on for 40 minutes? I mean, like...
Well, that's why they try to get you to upgrade and pay for longer.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Nobody's going to pay for it, unless you're, like, a company with a bunch of employees, and then it makes sense to pay for it, because you have a bunch of employees.
Yeah. But even then, you probably find a workaround. But,
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Or they just carry out their meetings through carrier pigeon.
Yeah, there's that.
Smoke signals, you know.
Yeah.
I'd be like, should we send a copy of that report to Mr. Jenkins? And then they send a smoke signal saying yes.
And then, you know, that takes like an hour or two to get back. And, it takes things a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Or you could do a Harry Potter method, just like send hours.
Yes.
Which never really made sense to me. It's like you're in a magical world where you could pretty much do anything through magic, but yet your means of communication are sending letters to owls and having them travel like across the country to deliver said message.
And this is the same world we live in, really, technically. I mean, if you watch it, it's modern times. It's not like it's stuck in the past, so they could just email people.
See, that's what I never understood about that book or that series. Much like I don't understand the author of said books and her political views.
Email people, pick up the telephone, something, you know, it'd be a lot easier. But anyways, speaking of things that kind of make sense and kind of don't, the Moon Knight episode 6 finale here. That's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So, initial thoughts here.
It was alright. I didn't like it that much the first time I watched it. And then I watched it again. And then we didn't review it last week. So I didn't watch it again for like another week. But then I just rewatched it just now for a third time. So, I still don't like it as much as episode 5, but I do think it's a decent episode overall.
It was decent, but it's still the whole Marvel not knowing how to stick a landing really well, in my opinion.
Yeah, especially with their shows, TV shows.
And sometimes their movies where you got the formulaic thing, I mean, with the exception of you didn't really have necessarily a formula when it came to Doctor Strange, but...
Yeah.
But a lot of the, this had the same kind of formula. It's, we got a evil monster we got to fight at the end.
Yeah. And then they had that. And they even had like a Shang-Chi type of moment where Amit is like physically getting larger from all of, like, the corrupt souls that she's eating, which reminded me of Shang-Chi when those bat-like creatures were stealing the souls of people and feeding it to the... It literally reminded me of the exact same thing. Like,
I've got comments to bring up about that when we get to that point.
Okay. Sorry if I ruined it already.
No, you're good. I just, you know, I've got a thought, and I just got to remember to bring it up. Just remind me.
I will.
Okay, so what went down in this episode?
Mark is in the field of weeds, and Arthur and his people drag Mark's body out of the little puddle that he's in, and they take the Upshati, or is it Upshati? I forgot the name of how to pronounce it. Upshati of Amit that he was holding in his hand. And Arthur does like his whole apology thing where he's like, you know, I'm sorry that it had to be this way or whatever. You know, Mark Spector, Stephen Grant, or whoever else might be living in there. And then Layla like kills one of the henchmen, and Arthur hears something, but he just, I guess, ignores it, whatever, I don't know. And then he goes off, you know, in his merry way to, you know, release Amit. And then, meanwhile, Mark is in the field of weeds, just sort of, like, soaking in, you know, his moment of peace that he's really never had throughout his life, or most of his life.
Every time you say field of reeds, the Sting song Field of Golds pops in my hand.
Oh, really?
Field of Gold. It's a good song. Wow. Look it up.
I will. I never heard it. Talaret's there with him, and then Mark decides to to go back to be with Steven because he doesn't think it's fair that, you know, he gets to have a peaceful afterlife, but Steven is, you know, frozen in sand out there, because we don't really know what that implies. Like, is that like if someone's frozen in sand, are they still like technically alive and they're just like stuck there? Like, so like they're pretty much like being tormented in the body that they can't move. You know, like
it's not really,
you know,
explained. I mean, it's like
right.
I mean, I guess it's different for in a way for Mark and Steven because they're kind of one person but two people. You know, it's like,
yeah, but so Mark's heart was balanced, yeah, and then Steven, well, the thing is too, Steven's heart could have been balanced too, but he jumped off the boat, so that's how he ended up, you know, so his was sort of like an accidental type of thing, but so he goes back and, you know, Talaret says, you know, it doesn't really quite work that way, because you're manifesting your afterlife, like that's what she said, you're manifesting it, so that kind of gives credence to some of the theories that were out there about, like, the ancestral plane and stuff of, like, if this is actually really happening, or if this is sort of just, like, in the imagination of the person, like, what they want to see, or what they've been conditioned that they're supposed to see, you know? So, like, in the case of Black Panther, you know, he was told that's what the ancestral plane looks like, so therefore, to him, that's actually what it does look like, even though it might not look like anything, really, but just, like, his consciousness projects, you know, that. That's kind of an interesting little point, you know.
My other question here about this is, okay, so, like, if you... Do you hang... Like, you asked this before on previous episode. Do you just hang out in that field of gold? I mean, field of reeds, if you're, like, you know, going to, quote-unquote, heaven?
See, I think that's, like, the entrance... Because I can't imagine, you know, that being very enjoyable for too long.
Yeah, I mean, that really would be much more enjoyable than hanging out in a field of sand.
Not really. Yeah, exactly. I mean, well, I guess it would have more sunlight. But, like, that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, too, how come there's no one else there? So is he the only person that's allowed to be there? You think they would see other people also in the field of reeds.
Or do you even have your own, you know, separate field?
Maybe you only see yourself at the time. Who knows? I think it was really supposed to be like an entrance point that you go into.
The gate.
Like, yeah, I think that's what it was meant to be. So he was kind of just sort of taking it in, you know, hanging out for a while. which makes sense. I mean, if you're going into heaven, it might be a little bit of a shock to just immediately go, you know, so, like, you kind of have, like, a little easing in, you know,
period. Just like if you're a Detroit Tigers game, you don't want to go immediately into, you know, Comerica Park. You need to go through that gate to get into it, right?
It's the same thing,
right?
Kind of. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'd be okay with just manifesting into the field, but, like, whatever. And then, so, yeah, he goes back for Steven. He gives some, like, really nice speech about how Steven had always been there for him since they were kids and how he was the one that pretty much saved him from, like, a life of misery. Well, I mean, he still had a life of misery, but pretty much saved him from, like, you know, killing himself or whatever, and that he was his only superpower that he ever had. So that was kind of a nice little moment. And then he puts his heart on top of Steven's hand, and then it glows, and then they both... Mark turns into sand with Steven, but then Steven gets back to normal, and then Mark gets back to normal, and then the gates, or the door opens to go back to the earthly plane. And, but then the sand starts, like, rising to, like, claim them both, but then Tallarette in the boat, like, crashes into the sand to, like, stop it from, like, consuming them. So they, like, then they go through the door, and then that's when Mark wakes up, you know, from the puddle that he was in. Because I forgot to mention, so, like, Arthur, like, put, like, the scarab onto Mark's chest. I don't know if that's supposed to be like an ancient Egyptian rite or something like that. And then Layla steals the scarab to, like, follow Arthur and his people to find Ahmet, because now they know where Ahmet is, so he doesn't need a scarab. Which seemed like an almost convenient thing too, because it's like, why would you give up the scarab even though you knew where Ahmet was? Like, why would you just keep it around with you anyway? I mean, that's like saying, oh, well, I guess, like, saying he shot Mark with the gun, so now he's just gonna drop the gun and not keep it. Like, why wouldn't you just keep it with you anyway? But whatever. So that was kind of convenient.
Some kind.
Yeah. So then Layla, she takes a scarab to, and it guides her, you know, to wherever they're going. And then, she finds him at, like, the temple where they were before, when they had, like, the conference or the sort of interrogation of Khonshu. And, Arthur kills all the avatars, including the really nice one that told Mark about the, how to find the, what was it, that dude?
That sarcophagus.
Yeah, so, even her, which, you know, I was hoping that she would have stayed alive, but no. And then, he goes into his whole speech about how the gods have been hiding things from humanity, blah, blah, blah. The whole villain speech, you know. And then he releases her. My theory was true, by the way. Partly true, where when Ahmet is resurrected, she says that Arthur's scales are imbalanced or unbalanced.
Yeah.
And then Arthur was willing to accept, you know, her decision, which that was my original theory from, like, way back in episode one. Mm-hmm. But the twist is that she didn't kill him. So that's the twist. But, which is interesting. So, by the way, the CGI is great. Ahmet looks really cool. She says his death is delayed if he serves her as her avatar, her official avatar, because at this point he just was like a sort of self-proclaimed avatar, I guess, of Ahmet's. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, your scales are and unbalanced for what lies ahead, but what lies ahead is your service to me. But then, well, why would his scales be unbalanced by serving her? Because the whole point of Ahmet is, like, extreme, like, perfect justice. So why would him being her avatar make his scales unbalanced and then worthy of death? Like, that literally makes no sense. Whatever. Okay, yeah. That's an academic point, I guess. But and then she says, oh, well, I once entrusted myself to someone whose scales balanced perfectly, and then for that, I was imprisoned for 2,000 years. So it's like, well, wait a minute. Your whole argument and line of logic is that you dispense perfect justice, everything's about scales balancing, but you're saying that your previous avatar, whose scales were perfect, betrayed you, but yet you want someone whose scales are unbalanced to serve you. Well, that completely goes against your entire line of reasoning. So
was this perfect person Alexander the Great, then?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's the one she meant, because that was what they...
And I don't know if I would see him as being perfect.
Well, maybe in her mind, you know, he was like setting up like a sort of world order, I guess, because technically he did conquer the known world at that point, and maybe in her mind that would lead to like a more civilized society where, you know, there's like a trade route and people can, exactly.
Technically, though, yeah. he like committed a genocide and, you know, other things. Well, but maybe
it just goes to show that she's kind of a hypocrite, really.
Or that the people that he killed were people that she wanted him to kill. I don't know.
I mean, I guess that you could argue that they were, that all those people just so happen to be people that would do something bad in the future, so she was like telling him the exact people to kill. That still doesn't make any sense, because it wasn't like Alexander the Great personally was going around killing people in battle. He had soldiers, so what, he was telling each soldier, oh, I only killed this specific person on the battlefield. How would you even manage that?
I mean, or any other, you know, leader in history who has people following them in a, you know, military, they're not personally killing everybody.
Exactly. I mean, he may have himself been in the battles himself, but when you're fighting around like hundreds or thousands of people, there's no way you're going to just be able to target like the exact right people. It's just not. So whatever, that was a flaw in the writing. Fine, whatever. Fine, TV. Well. It's fine. That's probably who she meant, or she could have meant someone else, and maybe Alexander the Great was a previous avatar. And then the one after him maybe was the one that betrayed. But they put it in his sarcophagus. Who knows? But
as a hiding place. Yeah, it's hard to say. do we get to the point where Layla becomes a temporary avatar yet?
No. So she. She goes. She finds, you know, where they released her, and she finds, you know, the Upsashi of. Khonshu and throws on the floor, and he tries to ask her to be, you know, his new avatar, and she's like, no way, like, I'm not doing this, like, you turned Mark's life into a waking nightmare. He's like, I'm not gonna, you know, he's like, well, that's the only way we can take on Anna, and she's like, no, I'm just not gonna do it. So then he just disappears.
Yeah. And then she becomes Towerette's or Tower Reed, however you pronounce it, it's a temporary avatar.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
I mean, her costume was sweet when she was in that. Even though I did find it to look a lot like the golden costume that Wonder Woman wore in Wonder Woman 1984.
Oh, okay. See, I haven't seen that one yet.
You should. I mean, it's worth watching. It's not as good as the first Wonder Woman, but it's good.
Okay.
Yeah. It's better than all the reviews seem to say it was, in my opinion. But
yeah, I always just avoid reading reviews until after I've watched something.
It was kind of like turning me off at first, and then I ended up watching it like a year after it came out or something. So,
but you're like, that's pretty cool. So what I understand though about her costume is, so are the gods just able to like make any kind of costume they want. Because I thought with Moonlight, it made sense because he's, like, it seemed like connected to himself. You know what I mean? Like,
I partially think maybe the costume just fits the person or personality, because like that's why Moon Knight has two different costumes at least that we've seen so far.
Right. Okay. Because I was wondering about that, because you know the Beetle thing, that's got nothing to do with Tallarat. So I was wondering, because you know that's what her dad used to call her, you know, as a little scarab, you know.
There was no John Paul, George, or Ringo there either, so it was confusing the hell out of me.
Well, yeah, because they're off being the avatars of other gods, so, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like, not the Egyptian, they're more of, like, the Indian gods, because they were really into, like, Indian mysticism for a while, so, like,
sitar music,
George,
yeah.
George probably, like, the avatar of, like, Krishna or someone like that, or whatever. John is like the avatar of like
Jaguru Deva, you know,
or someone like that, you know. Which I think Shiva is actually supposed to be Krishna in a different form, anyway. Whatever. Well, I think Shiva is the actual god, because India Hinduism kind of deals with avatars too. Kind of this is where they kind of got the idea, I think, a little bit.
Yeah.
I think Shiva is the actual god, but then Krishna became the human avatar of Shiva on Earth, but then basically became his own god, essentially. Like, you know, so, like, I guess Shiva's powers were just, like, permanently in him. I don't know. And then, pretty interesting, but yeah. So George is Krishna, but whatever. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Anyways,
yeah. I'm just kind of going off here.
We should write our own fan fiction with that.
Yeah.
Anyways, she becomes the Layla becomes the avatar for Tauret. Mark and Steven encounter her and are very surprised by her newfound abilities, and she protects Mark from having his soul taken away. Steven just gushes over her appearance like he does.
You know,
which I thought was funny. Anyways, they use their abilities together to try to take down Harrow and his followers. So they battle as, you know, as Mr. Knight and Moon Knight both. and then they overwhelm Harrow. But basically they end up losing their advantage as Harrow uses Mark's trauma against him to take him down.
Yeah.
So both Khonshu and Mark are pinned down in this fight. When you've got, like, what I was going to bring up is, you've got, like, these huge avatars of, or not avatars, but of, you know, big Khonshu and Ahmet fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Godzilla and King Kong just fighting each other. When I watched it, that's what I'm sitting here thinking. You know, like,
yeah, I was wondering about that.
Like a Godzilla movie.
And what I think was happening, though, was that I think this was like an invisible fight that like nobody else could see happening. And what we were really witnessing was Mark and Harrow fighting each other, but then that was like a representation of the actual fight going on between Ahmet and Khonshu, because it seemed like whenever Harrow had the upper hand, that's when Ahmet would have the upper hand, and whenever Mark would have the upper hand, Khonshu would. So it seemed like nobody else could see what was going on, because you'd think we see like these huge people fighting each other.
If other people could see it, or if it was just happening, you know, where only the avatars could see it.
Yeah, and even them didn't seem like they were paying attention.
No.
To it either. I don't know. Actually, I'm not sure though, because it does. Because when when Mark, because what happened was, so like, Harold almost kills Mark, but then the whole flashy thing happens again, and then all of a sudden he's got like the cane on Harold's head, like he killed him with it or whatever. Basically turned into Jake Lockley, essentially, and then or that's at least like the theory, you know. And then there's a bunch of like dead people surround him, a bunch of fires, so he's probably did a whole bunch of violent shit and then killed Arthur Harrow. And then as you see that, though, we see Amit, though, is dragging Khonshu, so it's like, well, if
that's like Harrow would, it's confusing to think whether we can see or not. Did you happen to see the Book of Boba Fett TV
show? I saw, I don't know if it was like the seventh episode. I don't know how many episodes there were. I saw the last one that they had, and I haven't checked it in a while, but...
Oh, okay, because, you know. I mean, no, it's only had one season, and I think it was like seven episodes.
But okay, well, I watched...
The season finale, I'm pretty sure it was the finale, had like this big battle where it was kind of Godzilla-ish, too, with a big Rancor monster.
Oh, yeah, okay,
So I'm just like Disney Plus, are you just like copying, pasting these things or what, you know? So
well, it seems like they are kind of, cuz like we're getting into like the monster like aspect of stuff. Like we got Amit, like you said, it's kind of like a Godzilla type of thing. We got a lot of tentacle shit going on lately in the Marvel movies. Yeah. Like we got that tentacle monster in Shang-Chi. We sort of had a tentacle-y people in the Eternals. They kind of had like tentacle stuff going on, and then Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange. They even showed that in the trailer, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah,
but yeah, the tentacle. So it seems like we're going into the tentacle period of the Marvel movies, or so I don't know.
Is there like a tentacle technical department?
Yeah, maybe. They have to like have a certain amount of tentacles or whatever.
Do you want to take a quick break and then talk about the rest of this?
Sure.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
No Outlet Live.
Hey, I'm Jay Remy, host of No Outlet Live. If you're in a podcast that explores any and everything, check us out. We stream anywhere you listen or watch podcasts, or just type No Outlet Live, one word, in your Google search bar to find the show. Live Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Facebook. No Outlet Live, your road to boredom ends here. Do you like Tessa? Do you think this will be a date that can last?
Well, she's not very articulate.
And we are back.
Heck.
In black.
Yeah.
It's a fact.
It sure is.
Well, at least I'm wearing a black t-shirt. I don't know. Anyway,
yeah, I think I am too. I'm wearing a Pink Floyd black t-shirt.
I'm wearing a My Name is Earl black t-shirt.
Cool.
Yeah, so,
You know what we're not wearing, though? We're not wearing white t-shirts to symbolize white supremacy. You know, which...
Like the people down the street from where I live.
Yeah, we're doing a rally, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a rally is a generous term, because there's like seven people. But like, whatever. Yeah.
Got like a half a dozen to a dozen people. It's kind of...
Yeah, hard to say. Kind of sad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But in this day and age, it's just sad that those exist, like where they think that... You know, with signs that say, like, I mean, only white babies, and, you will replace the white man.
Oh, yeah, so...
Yeah.
Like, it's just so sad, where it's, like, of how insecure you are, and how much you're projecting to the world, like, all of your insecurities, like, it's you get, like, almost secondhand embarrassment from... watching it, because it's just like, oh man, like, they really don't know how much they're revealing about themselves to the outside world. It's like,
but they were not revealing their faces.
Oh, of course not. See, that's the thing. They only wear masks to hide their identity, but I'm pretty sure.
And the thing is, there's like 85 degrees out, and they're wearing ski masks outside.
Yeah, well, because they don't want their identities to be shown because they're...
But I'm just worried about their health. That's got to hurt. I mean, that's really...
Well, I'm not worried. I hope they do get sick. I
was joking when I say I'm worried. But the... Yeah. But like I said to somebody earlier that yesterday was Friday the 13th.
Right.
So maybe they got confused and thought today was Halloween.
Yeah, that could have been it. Or maybe they meant to do the rally yesterday. Like, oh, it's Friday the 13th. Get it? Spooky.
I mean, it would have been cooler if they were all standing there wearing Jason Voorhees masks. I mean, I'm not saying I'd agree with them, but at least it would have been a different change up in their costumes.
They didn't think of it, though, but...
No. Or Michael Myers masks or Freddy Krueger. I mean, just be creative, people.
Just something, yeah.
Be creative with your racism. Anyway, so the... actually, just stop being racist. That's the most creative thing you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, back to the show here. We've got, you know, everybody's fighting. Everybody was kung fu fighting. Everybody was, you know, fast as lightning. That's what it was, right? No.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Layla at one point tells Mark that he has a choice to not kill Arthur Harrow. And,
well, I think with the prison Anna in his body.
Yeah.
The spell or like a...
Yeah.
Incantation or whatever.
Yeah, we've got you know, after the big, you know, kaiju fight going on up in the, you know, pyramids, we've got that going on, and then we've got the whole we take Amit's soul, put it in Harrow's body like you do, and then because you know everybody likes to have a Egyptian goddess in your body.
Yeah. Sure.
You know, it's like taking aspirin, you know? You just... You know, you're not feeling well, you just take an Egyptian body. Anyway, so the...
So, where's the Egyptian goddess?
Yeah.
Body, that would probably be, like, one of the most pleasurable experiences in the world. But, like, anyway...
Depends on how you look at it. Yeah. Anyways, the so he basically what ends up happening here? Because you probably know more than I do.
Oh yeah, because I just watched it again. So they do the spell and it, like, kind of goes around like the. Like the statues of like the other gods that are now have no avatars left, I guess, and then it gets into Arthur's body. I think Arthur was dead at this point. I think. And then like it's like, you'll never contain me, blah blah blah, whatever, and then Khonshu tells Mark to kill both of them, and then Layla gives the whole speech of like, no, you have a choice, you don't gotta be a killer, blah blah blah. You know, it's like they always save it for the last thing. I hate that in part of movies and shows. It's like the whole show is based on this one final action, and then it's like, we're gonna get up to this point, and we're just not gonna do it. It's like, well, why even have a show then if you just weren't gonna do it? Whatever, fine.
Or why not 4 episodes earlier tell the guy, hey, you know, you don't have to kill people.
Exactly, build it up a little bit, but again, this show had some weird pacing issues. Mm-hmm. It was fine for the first couple episodes, then the pacing kind of got weird, but whatever. So Mark's like, you could kill... I guess Khonshu still can't do things on his own, that he still needs... I still don't quite understand how that works, but like, whatever. And then, so he, you know, he was true to his deal, because he, earlier, Steven actually basically negotiated with him for Khonshu to release them both, keyword both as in two, which is important later on, from Khonshu's service. So then he's like, fine, you're both released, blah, blah, blah. We get this weird scene where they're back in the psych ward, or the mental health. I don't know what the word is now. Psych ward's kind of an old term.
It's an institution, maybe. No, it's kind of weird. I don't know.
Something like that.
Mental health facility, maybe?
Maybe, because I know like psych ward's kind of like an old... some stigma to that, kind of. Like, yeah. Oh, it's for psych ward. You know, like... Mm-hmm. But, like... So he's back there in Harrow's office where he's playing a psychiatrist. And he's talking about how, you know... he's imagining things again and all this kind of stuff. But then they notice that there's a trail of blood every time Arthur walks, you know, probably from the glass that he was wearing in his shoes. And then Mark's like, yeah, do you see that, Steven? He's like, yeah, I see it. And then, like, Arthur looks down. He's like, why am I bleeding? And then they're like, yeah, we appreciate the diagnosis, Doc, but, you know, we're going to go our own way or whatever type of thing. So then... and then they wake up, you know, that was like a dream,
they,
I guess.
They also say later gators to him, which I think is...
oh, that's right.
Which is a continuing thing, which is interesting because Ahmet appears in the shape of a gator. Alligator or crocodile, whatever the difference is.
There's just a small difference. I always forget which one is which. But,
something with their teeth. But,
yeah, I think so.
And one tastes more like chicken. I don't know. So anyways, then what happens here after that scene? They wake up and they're in his apartment?
Yeah, they wake up at Steven's apartment and they're just kind of talking to each other. And then they forgot that their leg was shackled to that thing and fall to the floor kind of thing. They're like, oh, shit, whatever, you know. It's like, I can't believe you live in this sort of mess or whatever. And then, then we roll the credits for few minutes, and then,
before that, though, while they're in the apartment, you do see their fish tank, and it has two fish in it.
Oh, that's right, yeah, there are two fish now, and, and then, yeah, we get credits for, like, maybe a minute or two, and then we get, like, a post-credit scene, and it's Arthur, he's, like, in a psych ward, or Arthur slash Ahmet, and I'm not quite sure, was Arthur dead, or is he just, like, unconscious at that point? Like,
I think that's interesting. I don't know if it was Arthur or Ahmet that is in this last scene.
No, but I mean, like, when they took Arthur to the thing, was he dead at that point? Was he killed, or is he...
No, that's what I'm saying, I don't know.
Oh, okay, gotcha. And then,
I don't know who is actually controlling the body at this point.
Oh, it's, okay, so, yeah, so...
I'm assuming Ahmet's dead, but I don't know.
Yeah, so they're in the, the psych ward, and it looks like there's like a bunch of sand in a cup, and then Arthur kind of pushes it, but it's just coffee or whatever, and then the nurse is like, oh, okay, it's time for bed now or whatever, and then this guy shows up and he's like, it's okay, miss, I'll take him, and she's like, no, it's, you know, he's like, you know, just calm down, it's fine or whatever. So then she just leaves, and then he pushes, you know, Arthur in his wheelchair, and Arthur's kind of, like, motioning to, like, you know, the door that he normally goes into, but the guy pushes him in a different direction and starts seeing, like, you know, bodies on the floor. He's like, what? You know, and then outside there's a white limousine, and the guy, you know, kind of roughly just sort of throws Arthur in, you know, the back seat of the limousine, and then kicks the wheelchair violently, like, oh god, we got ourselves a violent guy here. And then, you know, Khonshu sitting in like a white suit in the other side of the limousine, and Arthur slash Ahmet's like, oh god, like, really, like you can't hurt us, like, are you serious or whatever? And then Khonshu's like, oh, You thought that I really wanted Layla to be my second avatar? You know, like, no, that's not true at all. It's like, Mark has no idea how, you know, troubled he really is or whatever. And then he's like, he like knocks on the window and he's like, I want to introduce you to my friend Jake Blackley. And then Jake is speaking Spanish, I think, or Espanol. And he's like, now it's your time to lose, and shoots Arthur a bunch of time. And you can see like the lights coming from inside the limousine, like almost like a Godfather type of scene, you know, and then it just drives off and then that's it. So apparently Ahmet's dead for real now.
Yep, apparently.
and then we got Jake Lockley now as probably the new Moon Knight, which is quite scary because he's super, super violent. And
it'll be interesting to see if we have a follow-up of any kind and when it will be, because what I read months ago was that Oscar Isaac only signed on for this one project. So
right.
It's still going to be interesting to see where this goes in the future. I hope we see him or Layla or somebody else again, you know, from the show.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But there is something kind of cool about this not being directly connected to the rest of the MCU as well.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, technically it is. I mean, at least that's what I think Kevin Feige said.
Yeah.
But so far it doesn't really seem like there's really any connection to any of the
characters. There was no characters in this. I mean, story. There might have been some mentions to things that happened in the other movies, so I think, like, rough mentions, but overall, you know, it's not like, you know, Tony Stark shows up at his door, I mean, even though he's dead, but, you know, I mean, it's not like, I don't know, Hawkeye shows up at his door or something, you know, so.
Yeah, like, oh, no, help you guys out or whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I would hope for a second season. If not, then maybe at least
a movie,
you know, show up. Yeah, either have his own movie or show up in another movie. I always think it'd be cool if he showed up. I don't think they would now because the movie's probably going to be coming out soon. But, like, Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever, because they did talk about
the god. The proper place for him to show up would probably be Blade.
Blade, yeah. Okay.
Because I think there's going to... I think I would like to see him and then... what was the one guy in... The one guy that worked at the museum in Eternals.
I forgot his name.
Not in a museum, but a professor. But anyways, those two, I think it would be interesting to see Moon Knight and both of them show up in the Blade movie, which was kind of teased with the other guy in Eternals. So,
yeah, because he's got the Ebony Blade, which is interesting. Actually, that's a whole other thing, too. So, is that... Am I getting my lore screwed up? Because I watch so many of these videos lately that they're all kind of bleeding into each other. But, like, I mean, because I watch, you know, Screen Crush, New Rock Stars, Super Carlin Brothers, and, you know, so many channels, Emergency yeah. Awesome. So a lot of these things just bleed into each other. But am I mistaken in thinking that the Ebony Blade is also comes from the same power that, what's the guy's name? Gore, the God Butcher, has his weapon forged to kill gods? Or am I just, like, mixing two different things together?
In the story of Eternals, the Ebony Blade is the character that has it becomes the Black Knight in the future.
Right.
Dane Whitman. There we go.
But
so the Ebony Blade itself is according to, like, this is from the comic books, like in this Marvel database. The Ebony Blade was a magical blade forged by Merlin and Sir Percy from the Starstone meteorite. The Ebony Blade was enchanted to cut through any object to prevent the death of its wielder and to deflect any magic. But it also carried a curse that would slowly corrupt any user and cause a lust for violence, bloodshed, and death.
Okay.
According to Null, K-N-U-L-L, Merlin lied about the true nature of the Ebony Blade, and it can only be wielded by the impure of heart, drawing out their negative emotions until they become bloodthirsty berserkers.
What's the point of that?
I don't know.
Why would Merlin do that? Merlin's supposed to be a good guy.
Maybe he lied because he wanted to see if it worked with the good people. I don't know.
Yeah, just like a guinea pig. Like, yeah, just try this out. See if it works.
I don't know.
Could be the reason why. Okay, I was just wondering because I was watching the video and they were talking about Gore, the God Butcher, because of the new Thor Love and Thunder movie coming out soon. And apparently, the comic lore, at least, I don't know if they're going to do this for the movie, but was that he like prayed to the gods to like help save his family or whatever, and then they didn't get help, so his family and like his whole people were killed or whatever. So then he pretty much became like an atheist, essentially. But then he ended up seeing two gods fighting each other, so then he realized, oh, gods actually do exist, so I did pray to them and they didn't help me at all. So he went from becoming an atheist to what you call a dis-theist, which that there's actually a word, dis-theist, which it's a person who believes in God or gods but actively hates them. Like, there's an actual word for that.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's a difference between an atheist and a dis-theist. So he became one of these, and then I guess he, at one point, the good god was winning the fight, but then the bad god, like, basically, like, transmuted himself into, like, a weapon for some reason, I guess, so that the other guy could use it again, I don't know, whatever. So, basically, it was like a sword of some kind or whatever, and then Gore took the sword and killed the good god, and then that became, like, his goal now is to, like, to kill all the gods. But I, for some reason, I thought in my mind that somehow that energy or whatever was connected to the Ebony Blade, but it appears not to be the case or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just see where this goes. Hopefully we see some of this come together, and I'd really like to see, like, a with the magic direction that the MCU seems to be going in Phase 4.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of this stuff, like, kind of, you know, coincide together and coalesce, or whatever you want to call it, you know, kind of just merge together, you know, in a way. So you'd see Blade and Doctor Strange and, you know, some of the Eternals and other people all together, you know. And then Moon Knight.
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, I guess we'll see what they decide to do, because you never know. I mean, there's, you know, what is it, like 70 or 80 years of Marvel Comics they can go through, so.
They,
and then just create whatever they want, too, so.
Well, Kevin Feige said that he wants to continue this whole, like, sort of MCU project all the way into 2030. I'm like, that's 22 years.
Well, he said at least till then. So, I mean, it's going to go further. It'll go further than that. I mean, obviously you're going to get to a point where it's going to be diminishing returns, but it's, you know.
Yeah. How big can you go before you've lost? I mean, like, Thanos was like, oh my god, that's the end game. It was literally called Endgame, the movie. Yeah. But now it's like, okay, well now the new guy is Kang the Conqueror and it's a multiverse battle. Okay, when's the multiverse thing solved? When is there, you know what I mean? Like, all, well, I guess what would be then was all life in the whole multiverse extinguished, so then you gotta fight that guy or girl basically who's gonna end.
Big Marvel team up where they're just taking on a pickpocketer, and in New York, you know, just a random, you know, street guy that picks pockets. You know, that's what it's going to be.
Well, you know, it would be good because you start scaling back your enemies to make them smaller, and then the audience gets used to like regular like street crime people, and then you build back up to the bigger villains. You keep doing this until like 2080.
No, it's you know, there's going to be a movie where the bad villain is just a 14-year-old kid who steals a pack of gum from a 7-Eleven, and
yeah, and you have to have like the Punisher go kill him for him or something like that. I every crime is equal to me or whatever. You know, Wasn't that kind of his deal for a while, the Punisher? He would literally just punish people, like, no matter what type of crime. It was kind of like the Ra's al Ghul type of, you know, like,
I think the every crime. Of him like that, Anyways, any other final thoughts here before we wrap things up?
No, not really. Just hope, you know, we get... I just hope we get something extra, even if it's just, like, one episode or something, just to... You can't just reveal Jake Lockley and end the whole thing. I mean, that's you know, I mean, you can, but it's, you know.
I think he's going to show up again sometime. Might not be for 5 years even, who knows, but we'll hope sooner. But anyways, I really enjoyed this series. I think it had a lot of flaws, but it was still good. A lot of pacing issues, but overall it was good. Make sure you check out our TeePublic, our Patreon, our Facebook, our Twitter, our TikTok, our Instagram, all that good stuff. Yeah. Share the show with your friends, you know. Wear a mask unless you're a white supremacist who's trying to hide their identity because, you know... That just seems stupid. But anyway, so...
Well, they're so proud, so loud and proud, though, that, you know...
Yeah.
That's why they're behind the mask, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who are they afraid of? That's the thing I don't understand. They're afraid of the cops? I'm sorry to say it, but, like, a lot of the police are actually, like... They actually defend, like, wingers. So it's like, if anything, you know, like... I mean, not actively defend, but more of, like... It does seem like they go after left-wing protesters more than right-wing ones.
Speaking of which, there's a if I find it, I might share it in the show notes. There's actually a really good podcast I listened to about the co-opting of the Punisher's logo by corrupt police officers. So,
well, not just them. Anyone who's right-wing may do the same exact thing.
And it's they interviewed the creator of the design. So, pretty good podcast talking about
the Punisher. Yeah, as a character, you know, at one point he was actually going after corrupt cops as well. Like, you know, he was not just, it wasn't just like street criminals he was going after. Like, you know, he was going after everyone.
So keep that in mind, folks. But until next time, folks, be good to each other, love one another.
Yeah,
don't be a supremacist, and bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.